Hello, everyone, and welcome to F-Boy Island. That's right. You might think, Kirsten, you're talking about that other show with hot dummies on an island, but there's room in my heart for all of them. I'm, of course, Kirsten McGinnis, and for this adventure through F-Boy Island, I am joined by one of my besties, Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I am so great. I have been bursting at the seams, excited to talk about this with you, because what a dream come true this is, that you and I get to podcast together, first of all, and that we get to podcast about this show that I am so excited about and like actually enjoyed. Like, I love hot messes, but I didn't know really what to expect with this. I was very excited because I really like Nikki Glaser. But I didn't know. I was just like, yeah, okay, I've seen this before. It's a little bit different. But three episodes down, I am in. I am enjoying this so much. And yeah, this is just a dream come true to be able to podcast this together.
100%. So I guess for anyone who's unaware, F-Boy Island is the newest reality show on HBO Max. The first three episodes dropped on July 29th. Next Thursday, August 5th, they will drop three more. And then on August 12th, the final four episodes will drop. It is one of the most iconic things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
Like, I just... So, okay, so we've got 12 guys who came on saying that they're nice guys. We've got 12 guys coming in saying that they're F-boys. Then we've got the three women, and they need to A, find love, and B, send the F-boys home. And I was like, okay, I don't understand how this game structure is going to work. But what we discover is that the F-boys and the nice guys don't go home when they're eliminated. And so I am just like, what's going to happen? What are they going to do?
I love everything about this. I love that there's like an actual strategy component to this show, because like on all of these shows, there is always a mix of self-proclaimed nice guys and maybe some F-boys in denial and some that probably are very aware that they are F-boys.
Well, I think all of the nice guys are F-boys that are in denial.
They're all. But like, you know, they don't... It's not a challenge within these other shows to figure out who is who. They just kind of get there through the process. I love that this is actually also a game. It's still not clear to me. There's this, you know, all this talk about like there's a chance to win up to 100K. But I feel like three episodes in, it's still not very clear to me how you win money, for what and who. But they basically explain to us that the women can also win the money. The men are also in competition for the money. And there must be different scenarios in which you can win, because obviously the men that are self-proclaimed F-boys are there for the cash. But if the women can also win money, there's also got to be an incentive for the nice guys too. So there's got to, like, I'm very, very curious about how money is won, and especially because it's up to 100K. Like, this is some sort of pot of money. So it could be split amongst, maybe it's that it's like some equation of how many people are winning the money, and that's why it's up to 100K. I'm assuming it's not like Too Hot to Handle where the pot gets reduced.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that I feel like wasn't super well explained, no. But maybe it's just not that important. And there's, you know, I feel like in these other shows that have money, I think that it gets referred to so often. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm here for the money. Like, no one's getting between me and the money. Like, I feel like they mention it at the beginning and then it's kind of not really talked about ever again.
Yeah. Well, and the I think part of that is because we also don't know who is on team F-boy and who is on team nice guy. So like we also get to put on our Sherlock hats, yes, and try and determine who is a nice guy, who is an F-boy. And so they can't really focus on the money too much, because I feel like the F-boys would be like, yo, I'm here for the money, yes, you know?
Now,
but they're trying to trick us, too.
I feel like there's, like, one confirmed F-boy that they give us, because I feel like it's important to the storyline for us to, like, know, I guess, I don't know. There's going to be some surprises along the way, obviously, but they seemed to, you know, from the jump, introduce us to Garrett, blonde Garrett, who, I mean, it doesn't say F-boy, but everything he says in all of his confessionals is he is one of the F-boys.
He calls himself the king of the F-boys. Like, literally, he says that. Also, I feel like we need to address the elephant in the room. The show is on HBO, but they never say the word fuck once.
They do. They don't say fuck boy. They've branded the title of the show as F-Boy Island, and they refer to them as F-Boys. But there is a point in, I think, the third episode where, who was it? I can't remember. One of the guys drops like four or five F-bombs in a confessional. And so I'm like, okay, so clearly they're allowed to say fuck, just like I am right now, but they aren't, I guess it must just have to do with, like, you can't name the title of the show Fuckboy Island. So then that became the branding of it, but they can say F. They can say that on the show.
They can say falafel.
They're falafeling all over the place. Well, not all over the place, but they can say, it's on HBO. Like, you know, they say shit. They can swear. But yeah, I don't know. It's a little jarring to hear at first. You're just like, boy, but it kind of becomes second nature after like an episode or two. You're just like, whatever, this is it. I will say, I can handle this a lot more than I can handle Love Island calling each other boy and girl. Mm-hmm. Like, that is unforgivable. I can deal with F-boy.
Yeah, like, F-boy means something different, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's not the same as just being like, oh, this boy.
Yeah, especially because like on Love Island, the way that they say it is just like so juvenile to me.
Hi. And
like,
so the
juxtaposition
boy.
Of like, you know, like having sex and all of these like sexually charged like things going on, and then they're like, the boy I like. It's like, I can't with this. Anyway, that's a whole other show. This show is mature, it's funny, it's edgy, it's giving me life. I'm sorry. See You Never, Love Island. It's F-Boy Island all the way. This show is a dream come true, because it's like, imagine being one of these girls.
It'd be so much fun. Okay. The girls. I feel like, okay, instantly, I feel like CJ is kind of the star of the women.
Yes. She's definitely the most, like, she's got the most personality, I would say, of the three. She has the most to say, as we see by the third episode, she loses her voice. So clearly she's been carrying the show in terms of, like, talking.
Yes.
So yeah, I do feel like CJ has the most energy, and just has the most like bursting personality.
Yes. And Garrett called her a sex demon in his first confessional about her, which I just feel like is such a weird, thing to say, but, Garrett also, like, just strange. Like, is that a compliment?
Is that a compliment? I don't know. I wouldn't want to be called a demon.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a demon. but yeah, I feel like she's like number one with a bullet. Like, she's been putting in the most investigation time kind of thing.
And it seems like she has the most attention, from the men.
Well, I think she's maybe like a little bit more open. Like, I feel like the other two are a little more reserved. Nakia is absolutely beautiful, well dressed.
Isn't it Nakia?
Nakia.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like Nokia, the phone.
Nokia,
but
Nakia.
Nakia. Nakia.
I need to write things down phonetically.
And then Sarah.
Yes, and Sarah, who is she's there?
Yeah, she's okay.
I feel like Sarah is a full idiot.
See, I found, okay, well, I mean, I think she's got really bad reads, but I actually found when she started talking, and then maybe, you know, maybe this is my prejudice or my bias of like expecting certain things from this kind of person on a reality TV show. Mm-hmm. But I actually found that when she talked, I was like, oh, okay. She's like not, I found her less bubbly than I was expecting. Like, I thought she was gonna be like, and like, she's very like,
she's pretty serious.
Yeah. She's like a lot more like steady than I expected, but which like, kind of like makes her a little boring. But
here's the thing though. She keeps talking about building her brand. She wants to build her brand. Her brand of what? What is she talking? She's like, is it a clothing brand? Is that a cosmetics brand? Is it just her Instagram account?
I think it's just influencer brand. Because she's like a social, she's a social media manager. And so she like, she was talking about that and then like segue to being like, I eventually want my own brand. So it's like, your own social media brand, as in just like you have enough followers that you can just like attach your name to things. Like, I really don't know, but I mean, she's using this show to, you know, kind of launch her brand. She needs to be giving me a little more. Sarah Emig, Emig, E-M-I-G.
Okay, I'm looking up her Instagram.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to look up all the girls' Instagrams. See, this could be a
if
fun
only
game.
We had seen it before, their Instagrams before this actually started, because I'm sure that they've gained followers since it started.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
Okay. How many followers do you think Sarah has on her Instagram?
I'm going to say, let's say 20K.
Okay, you are way over. She has 6,438.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yikes. Okay, and then how many do you think CJ has?
I'm gonna say, okay, now I have to, this has impacted my let's say like 18K.
See, but then this is where you're way off, because she has 516K. So I think she was an influencer coming in.
Well, she's a model. Like, that's the other thing, is all of these people, like, almost no one has a, like, traditional, like, job. Except for, like, there's, like, a chiropractor, which...
Yeah.
Okay, well, a couple of them have sort of... But these are literally all also influencers. You know what I mean? Like, none of these people are like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just an IT guy. That's it. I don't have an Instagram or TikTok. Like, they all double as something else.
Yeah. You got to have a side hustle. It's 2021.
Yeah.
No, okay. But here's where the, okay, these numbers are all over the map, because Nakia has 15,800.
So you're telling me that Sarah, the social media manager who's trying to build her brand, has the least followers of these three women.
Yeah.
That's sad.
But
that's,
I think it's a relatively new account. She only has 43 posts.
Is it a real account or is it a fan account?
It is definitely her. It was linked from like a People article.
Okay.
And it appears to be very real. Wow. She just wants to be an influencer.
Well, you know what? If this game ends well for her and she ends up with one of these guys, they can do the same thing that all of these other people do after this show, where they can monetize their life as a couple and, you know, gain some followers. That's the move.
That's honestly, like, that's why you go on these shows. Like, yeah. You just have to.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the start, the three women come in. And then all of the men come in, and Nikki Glaser makes some jokes about, like, their pants and, I didn't know GNC sold jewelry.
I love, like, a legitimate comedian as a host, because the roasting is so good, but, like, it's genuinely funny. And, like, I don't know. I mean, like, that's one of the things that Nikki does best, is just, like, it's just like very casual roasting where it doesn't seem so, I don't know. I take a lot of issue with like the narrators of a lot of these other shows where it's like, they're really trying to make jokes happen and it just feels very forced. I just feel like through three episodes of this show, I am even more obsessed with Nikki Glaser than I was like in the first place, because she adds as a host so much to the show. I think
she's so funny, and like, she's making fun of them without seeming super mean. Like, yeah. Everything she says is worthwhile. Like, I think she is definitely the right person to be hosting the show. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the mechanic where the women give VIP wristbands to the men they want to get to know better?
I mean, I kind of liked it to be quite honest, because, you know, there's so many of them at the beginning, yeah, that I think that having something to symbolize like the choices, I think was important. And like, it's just like, oh, giving out my friendship bracelets.
Like, okay, Paul.
Yeah, it's Paul Abramian passing out his friendship bracelets.
It's your boy, Paul, and he's handing out bracelets.
Not pissed at this. No, I thought it was cute. I thought it was like they're on an island. They're, you know, they're gonna have a pool party. It made sense for the theme. I feel like it's like a festival. It's like, oh, VIP access with your like purple bracelet. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was a good idea. But again, then it was confusing because they're like, okay, so you give two of them, they each get two to give away right at the beginning based on the first impressions of literally just walking by these men, which that was so weird. I was like, so awkward. Well, like, because I think that they didn't know what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So like, was it Nakia? I think Nakia went by first and she just kind of like strutted past them,
and
like,
she looked excellent doing it.
Yeah, she just did her walk, and then the other two like were like stopping. It was like they were like politicians and they were like shaking hands and kissing babies as they're like walking down this line of people. Like, I felt like, you know, if I were like Nakia, I'd be like, oh, was I supposed to stop? Like, I just felt like that whole thing was kind of confusing. But yeah, they're giving out these wristbands based on like, you know, literal first impressions of just walking past them and seeing them all in a line. Mm-hmm. But then they get given more wristbands, which it wasn't even clear to me, like, how many more they got.
No, there was a handful of them. I don't know.
Yeah. To give more away at the party. It was just like,
yeah. And then it's like, so what, when you get the VIP wristband, you can't go into like the Gen Pop anymore. Like,
yeah. And then it just seemed like they were all just kind of mingling everywhere. So it was just like, what is happening here?
Yeah. I felt like the party, I don't think we got anything from the first party, but, like, did you think anything like really notable happened during the party?
I did note, of course, that, they get alcohol, and it seems like they get alcohol in a way that isn't as limited as some of these other shows.
Yeah, they're on an island.
HBO Max, they're like, these people can get more drunk and we're not really as concerned. I guess the only notable thing about like this first party is that some of the people that CJ had good first impressions of quickly change, because that's at the first party, right?
Oh, yeah. That guy, like, is like, oh, you're a little toxic. And she's like, whoa.
Yeah. So Jamie, yeah. Well, I mean, she kind of set herself up for, I mean, he shouldn't have said that, but like, she kind of sets herself up for that, because she's like, if someone matches my energy, we might get arrested.
I think that's how I feel every time I think about hanging out with you, Jenny. Like, will we get arrested? We might. I don't know. It could happen.
Does that make us toxic?
No, how dare you even imply that? How dare you?
Okay, well, I should have learned from
you. Should have learned from Jamie.
Yeah. That's the first thing is CJ's turned off by that and being like, don't ever call a woman toxic or crazy, even if she says that she might get arrested. And then I really enjoyed her interaction with Peter. Like, okay, Peter is a star. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with this man.
I instantly loved him. But like, honestly, good on CJ for being like, he's love bombing me.
Yeah, I did love that she called that out. Like, their interaction was so funny because he says, I was raised by a single mother, and she goes, that's hot. I'm like, pardon me? I might have to, like, you know, take Jamie's side on this. Yeah, maybe you are toxic.
That's
why
hot.
Do you think that's hot?
Like, that should simply be a fact. Like, I don't think that there should be a value associated with if you had a single mom or not.
Like, even just to, like, if you wanted to give it, like, a positive, like, response, like, I just felt like that's hot is such a weird, like, are you Paris Hilton? Yeah. What is this?
Okay,
like,
Paris Hilton.
and Peter is amazing. And so she asks him, like, what he likes to do. And he's like, I love sleeping. And I'm like, big same. Yeah. But eventually, I think he's a little awkward and is maybe taking some of the playful flirting a little too far. And he gets pterodactyled.
Pterodactyl.
We learn that this is what CJ does when she doesn't want to talk to a guy any longer. She just says pterodactyl.
I love
so that
it.
Someone can save her. I did love a moment from Sarah where CJ is telling the girls and Nikki that that's what she says, and like Sarah's like, very subtle. That's very subtle. Yeah. I was like, I like the like. Sarah isn't super bubbly and like high energy like CJ. So I think that she seems like kind of boring at times, but every once in a while she's like got like a dry little quip and I'm like, okay, Sarah, I see you. So that was one of the moments where I'm like, I like that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I feel like Peter was put in the show specifically to try and trick us to be like, oh, he's definitely a nice guy. And then for it to be like a big reveal, like I feel like he was set up to seem less F-boyish, even though right. He was 100% clocked on love bombing her.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, she called it right when she was giving him the wristband. She was just like, you look like you're trouble, but like I want to see, or whatever. It's just like, okay, so you're the producers are like, god damn it, no, we were expecting him to like to be like fooling you all. And yeah. Just like, she's calling it her radar,
like,
is
no
off.
He looks innocent.
Yeah. I loved him though. Like, I wasn't even upset to find out that he was an F-boy. I was just mostly sad that we were robbed of more time with Peter.
Well,
because I thought he was really fun.
Don't let me get too far ahead of us, but I've never been so thankful for the edge of extinction as I was at the end of episode one.
Yes. I know, this is the one time where this is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like the only other notable things about this first party is that like, I think CJ must have given the wristband to Casey at the party, because then she had the little sit down with Casey. Mm-hmm. And he reveals that he's got a CJ tattoo because he's like Casey John or something like that. That tattoo
Casey
is
Jordan.
Terrible.
Getting a tattoo of your own initials. Don't do it. Like, yeah, I mean, I guess it's better to get your own initials than someone else's.
Yeah. Like, especially unless it's like a family member that like, you're not gonna regret that or something, but I don't know.
I think that he has a questionable taste in tattoos, to be sure. But I do love the idea of CJ and CJ.
Yeah. No. And like, here's my thing with CJ is like, she, you know, she's got a lot of personality, she's really fun, but I just feel like her interest in people is just so shallow. Like, her priorities are so shallow. Like, every time she's talking to someone, she's like, I feel like we would look like really cute together. And I'm like, how is this like your first, like, this is all she cares about is like,
okay, but like, it's really important that a couple like look good together.
I mean, I don't disagree, but like, there's just so many things that she says where I can't like think of the other examples at this moment, but like, I just feel like there's so many moments where like, I'm like, CJ's priorities are, you know, she's telling us that she's trying to find a nice guy, but like, I'm not so sure that she's really that interested.
Yeah. I think, cause it's like, Nikia's like, oh, I've done my time. I've like dealt with F boys before. Yeah. I'm done with that now. Whereas CJ's kind of like, oh, maybe like an F boy with like a nice heart.
Yeah, she's thinking that maybe she can, you know, change somebody.
Famously a good strategy to change someone. Yeah,
so it's such a great call.
Just healthy.
But yeah, this is like the first interaction we see between Casey and CJ, which turns into quite a thing. And then we also get at the party Garrett P., who I guess was really just trying to get some time with Nakia and like ends up just making her really uncomfortable because he keeps like whispering in her ear being like, hey, I'd really like to talk to you for like a couple minutes. And
she blocks that out. It made me so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just sometimes like it's, I don't know. I think people think that they're being suave and it's like, it just does not play well. Cause I don't think he said anything weird. I think that just like maybe his body language and like the way he was kept whispering in her ear was making her uncomfortable.
Well, and the way he was acting in his confessionals this episode did seem like very entitled. Like he felt like he was owed like time with the women and like that kind of vibe was how I was feeling about him. So yeah, not my favorite. I did like how the party ended though. Where CJ just goes, we're tired. We'll schedule one-on-one dates tomorrow.
That's so great. It's like, we're done with this. So, you know, entertain yourself.
Yes. Goodbye.
Oh, and also at the party, which I think is a notable thing, is we get Chris talking to CJ. And this is when he tells her that Colin is definitely an F-boy. And CJ basically immediately shares this with the girls. So this is the first interaction of Chris, the
spy.
The mole.
00 Chris. This to me is wild. Like, because we actually at this point have no reason to believe that Chris is telling the truth. We have seen nothing from Colin to really indicate that he might be an F-boy, but everyone just takes this no grains of salt. They're like, oh, I hate to hear that he might be an F-boy. And it's like, you don't know that he is.
And then Chris, through this, gets like elevated to like trusted confidant like status. I'm like, I mean, I'm getting more bad vibes from Chris than Colin, so...
Yeah, and Chris is in the confessional. I'm the puppet master. I'm controlling everything. It's like, well, nobody likes you, Chris.
Another thing, and this is, like, you know, not important at all, but I must, you know, take note of it, is Chris, his voice is, like, identical to Big Jeff's.
Sorry for ruining that going forward. Say that when I have... 7 episodes left to watch.
I'm just saying, I noticed it about like late in the first episode, maybe early in the second, and I was just like, this guy sounds like Big Jeff.
No.
So if you didn't dislike him before,
gross.
I'm here to make sure that happens.
Absolutely disgusting. But yeah, and everyone just like believes him, which I thought was wild.
Yeah.
But that doesn't impact Nakia's date choice because she chooses to take Colin out. CJ and CJ go on a date and Sarah and blonde Garrett go on a date.
When Garrett was telling the story about being adopted and like it felt like it was like, okay, like this is the playbook for like connecting on a date where it's like, I've got to dump all of like my like, you know, sympathetic stuff that I could possibly mention about my life in like the first 15 minutes or else like I'm going to get eliminated. Like it was very like Bachelor, like, okay, I'm adopted. My sister is deaf. I have abandonment issues. Like it felt like he was going through like a
checklist.
Like he's like, okay, I got to hit this note. And he like just like wrapped it in a pack and she's just like, oh, okay. You're going straight forward on the first date. Well, okay.
And it's so weird because like, if we didn't see all of the confessionals of blonde Garrett being like, I'm king of the F-boys, I'm trash, I'm here for the money, I don't care about women at all, then you would see this and be like, oh, he's like opening up and being vulnerable.
Yes.
But like, so that's probably how Sarah is feeling. Meanwhile, we are seeing his confessionals and we're like, oh my God, this man is using his personal tragedies to check notes, get laid.
And maybe this is like, you know, I'm super cynical, but like, I was waiting for the, like, the confessional after that to be like, I made up this story.
Literally.
I'm like, oh my God, this is so dark. Like, is he really making up that he was adopted and that his sister's deaf and all of this stuff? Like, he's being built up to be like the supervillain.
Yeah.
And we're getting, you know, like the slow car crash of Sarah being like, I really think he's a nice guy. And I'm like, oh no, we're going to get this like gross confessional of him saying that he made this up. Thank God we didn't get it. So
yeah,
he's still very much like purposely using this to like,
it's still dark. So what's worse, using real life trauma to get ahead in a game like this, or making up trauma to get ahead in a game like this? Like, ethically speaking, which is worse?
I mean, they're both bad. I do think that making it up is worse, because I think that it is probably like disrespectful to like people that have like actually gone through those things. Like, at least if this actually happened to him, I can say like, okay, you went through this stuff. Maybe it's impacting you in a way that is causing you to act a little toxic. That doesn't excuse it, but at least this actually happened to you. I think that, like, you know,
you're right. Like Matt Hoffman just being like, making up a disease, is like,
yeah, worse. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, Sarah's radar is completely off. She's definitely thinking that Garrett is a good guy.
And this is why I think she's a full idiot.
Well, like I said, I think that she, the way that she expresses herself and like, you know, communicates her thoughts, like, I don't think she's like stupid. I just think that she's like a really bad.
No, I don't think she's stupid. I think she might be dumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah. Like me, like I'm not stupid, but I'm dumb.
Oh boy.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Okay, I like the day with Nakia and Colin. I'm not a horse person. In fact, I am like pretty anti-horse.
So you liked that he was afraid?
I thought it was really funny that he was afraid of the horses. But it was like kind of a fun date. And I really liked their conversation, because there was like a quote that Nakia said that I thought that really resonated with me, where she was just like, I'm not looking for a perfect love story. I'm looking for a real love story. And I like that, because I think that so many people get like very stuck on things being what they expect to be perfect. And that's just not how life works, baby. Okay. So I just feel like of the three women, like Nakia has like her head on her shoulders, yes, like the best, like, without a doubt.
I agree 100%.
So I'm rooting for her, obviously. But
I hope she finds true love. Maybe not on F-Boy Island, but like in her life.
I feel like no one should be aiming to find love on this show, because it's truly just it's not a good idea.
12 of the men are, Jenny. Come on.
But I don't, that's the thing, is like, I almost sometimes think it's worse if you're a self-proclaimed nice guy.
100%. I'm sorry. Any guy I've met that tells me that they're a nice guy is like the worst human I've ever met in my life.
It's,
you know,
the reddest of flags. It's so bad.
It's like the screen turns red, a caution symbol pops up, and it says F-boy alert.
I wonder, would it have been more interesting if they had done, you know, like whatever level of like testing and like interviewing and all of that stuff that they do for a show? Like, let's say, Are You the One, to do like compatibility testing and all of this stuff. Like, can you imagine if the producers determined like whether someone was an F boy or a nice guy, and like, even the guys playing don't even know.
They don't know until, like, they get eliminated. And do they get to go in the Hummer limo, or do they wait for the bus?
at the F bus. I don't know. I think maybe it's like it's better to know, like, to have the villains know that they're villains. Yeah. But I just think that, like, that could be an interesting level to it, because, like, I hope that the producers were also maybe reading through some of the bullshit, because I think a lot of guys think that they're nice guys and they're not. So
they're like, but I will be friendly to a woman and then they'll have sex with me because I was That's friendly.
How it works.
Because I'm a nice guy.
Yes.
I put in the nice coins into the vending machine and then the sex comes out.
Yes. I would like my sex now, woman. Please deliver.
Now
I'm holding up my hand at your slot, waiting for something to come out.
And then if a man ever says that to you, to anybody listening, you say, be gone.
Be run.
Be gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And yes, the CJ and CJ went paddleboarding. It was cute. Whatever. So the way eliminations work, and I guess there is some flexibility in this, we find out later on.
Yeah.
But each woman puts up two men, and then one of those two men goes home.
Yeah, there's like a bottom six, and then each woman chooses of the each of their bottom twos who they actually get rid of.
Mm-hmm. So for the first episode, Sarah's bottom two were Andrew and Paul. CJ's bottom two were Jamie and Peter. And Nikia's were Garrett P. and Colin.
I feel like we see this theme of start of like, these people are in conflict, so we're going to make them the bottom two. So that's what Nikia is going for here, where it's like, you know, because Colin thinks that Garrett P. is the one who's responsible for telling CJ that Colin's an F-boy and all of this stuff. So we see these two face off. Andrew and Paul, I think Sarah just doesn't like white men with long hair.
And I think that she has a point.
She's like, I'm nothing against that at all. I'm just noticing a trend. Okay. And then what I think was interesting, that I was like alluding to earlier, is that CJ, you know, the two people that she gave, the bracelets to, or the wristbands to at the beginning and had the first time with, you know, she clearly got some sort of information from those interactions and saying, I'm not really feeling this here.
It's good to know. Okay. So the first three eliminated are, Andrew and Garrett P, who both say they were nice guys. And then Peter, who admits that he was an F-boy.
In my notes, I wrote in all caps, justice for Peter. And then this is before the reveals. And I'm like, yeah, of course, I'm like most distraught about the one F-boy leaving.
Well, I would just like to say, I think that Andrew and Garrett are both also F-boys. I think it's pretty clear. The way that Garrett P. was acting was horrible. All of his confessionals rubbed me the wrong way. I was so glad to see him go.
And if I wasn't feeling bad about him going into this after all of that, he recites a poem for Nikia that made me simply want to die.
Please, can we just not call that a poem? Because that's insulting to poets everywhere.
That is what he called it. And then he also says his name at the end as if he's like, you know, writing a text and signing it. He was like, he finishes the poem and goes, Garrett Powers. Like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. It's so, so bad. I also noticed that Nikia does not get Nikki's humor, because she's like, okay, Nikia, I need you to let us know in a poem, like, who you're eliminating. She's like, in a poem? She's like, no, Nikki's making a joke.
Well, but that was also kind of funny, though, for her to be like, in a poem? She's like, no, yeah. Just normal.
But it's like, you don't, like, of course she's not asking you to do a poem.
Well, it would be really funny if Nikia had just like dropped a like limerick on the spot.
Yeah. That would be impressive. I'd be into it.
Okay. So what I love also is when Nikki is dismissing the eliminated boy, she goes, nice guy, nice try. And F boy, F bye.
So good.
It's so funny.
It is iconic. It's so amazing.
And then when she sends Paul, Jamie, and Colin back, she goes, you're safe, but like, 18 other men did better than you. So like, you're still not doing great.
It's so good.
She's right.
Yeah, I know. She's like, okay, well, you like, don't celebrate too hard because this could be you again.
So funny.
Yeah. And so they make the F boys that get eliminated wait at the bus stop for the F bus.
Like, this show's concept is just so perfect.
They get on the F bus and they go to Limbro, which is the edge of extinction.
It's literally the edge of extinction for fuck boys. Like, I am obsessed with it. Like, oh, and don't forget that also, so the F boys go to Limbro, which is, and I don't fully, do you believe that they're sleeping there?
I mean, obviously not, but please don't make me confront that reality. I want them to be sleeping on those hammocks and only, they definitely aren't getting catered.
They're only eating coconuts. Yeah. But the nice guys get to go to Nice Guy Grotto, which the other excellent thing about this whole setup is that Nice Guy Grotto is like an earshot of like Limbro Edge of Extinction.
Yeah.
So they can like shout at each other. Yeah. And
hey,
see
what are you
other.
Drinking? Pina coladas. Yeah. Love you, bro. Love you, bro.
It's so good. Here, the thing I love about these shows, and I talk about this all the time, I love bromances. Like I just love it. And so I'm glad that when people get eliminated on the show, they're not never to be seen again. And that we get these little segments with the guys that have been eliminated, still broing down. It's delightful. They don't have to spend too much time on it, but
I like it. Every one of these scenes has been very fun. And I'm just like, what's going to happen? Like, do the F boys and nice guys like vote on who gets the money at the end? Like, I don't know. Is it a jury? Well, what's going to happen?
I mean, we saw at the end of Too Hot to Handle season two, like we went through the whole season not really knowing what the plan was with the money. And we ended up having this jury situation. So there's got to be a reason that they're including these people in the show still, right? Or did they really just love the concept of Nice Guy Grotto and Limbro and they just want to include it somehow in the show? You got to feel like there's something to it.
Yes. But here's the magic of F-Boy Island, because even if nothing came of this, I would just be happy that we had the experience. Like, I wouldn't care if they're just there.
I love how this show is like edited too. Like, it's just it's such high quality production.
It's and so fun.
So I just feel like it's such an enjoyable viewing experience, because you're just like, I'm not watching this being like, this is so budget, like this is so cheaply made, or just like poorly produced. Like, it's every scene feels worth watching.
Yes. 100%. And okay, in episode two, they do a challenge where they play three team water balloon dodgeball.
Nikki following this is so funny, because she's like, you don't usually see three-sided competitions. And I understand why. This is chaotic and impossible to follow. To which I agreed, because I had no idea what was going on or how anyone won.
I also love, she's like, what's better than dodgeball? Water balloon dodgeball. What's better than that? Sex. But it's too soon for that. So we're going to play water balloon dodgeball.
She's just so perfect. It's so good. I still didn't really understand. What was the deal with the golden conchs? Like,
I think that each woman got to choose the MVP of their team to give them,
and they
the
just
golden
gave
conch.
Them the golden conch.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. Right. It was just trash that they spray painted gold. Like, it's not that.
Yeah,
deep.
Literally, that's what. Yeah, she said. So, and I, you know, this is very typical of me. Anytime there's a challenge on any show, especially if it's any sort of like team like physical thing, I simply blacked out during this. I had no idea who was going on. I had no idea who was winning. So I truly couldn't even figure out what happened here.
No, I have no idea what happened. At one point, they poured a pool onto another team. I don't know.
I don't even remember who won.
So
who won?
No, we won, because we get to watch F-Boy Island.
That's true. That's a good point.
What I did clock during this is there's a confessional of Charlie, who is the Frenchman. Mm-hmm. And his Chiron says French trainer. So is it like, does he train people in French, or are they just saying that he is a trainer and he is French?
He's French and a trainer. Or yeah, like, do you
I feel like it would be like a French teacher, French tutor.
Yeah, I feel like French trainer isn't
like I think
like
they
the
were just
terminology.
Like, yeah, he's from France, so he's a French trainer.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they think that we can't like gather that from his accent? If they have to like let us know what that accent is?
Well, it would be really hard to tell with the language barrier, Jenny.
I guess so. They're really, making it easy for us.
Yes. Okay, so Nikki and Greg seem to be vibing, but then he says he used to be a club promoter. And the screen goes red. It says, red flag. Club promoter, F-boy alert.
So good.
It's
I
so
love this.
Funny. But then what's even better is in Sarah's interaction with Jared and CJ's interaction with Sean, they both also bring up club promoters as a bad thing, and it flashes back to Nikki and Greg.
The callback of the club promoter being the red flag alert is so good. And honestly, I get it.
Like, it's great.
It would be a red flag for me too. Like every time I've ever interacted with a club promoter, it's been bad vibes.
Yeah, you're like, this is weird.
Your job is to try to get people to come to a club and like offering them like it's like
not
weird
even,
and boring.
Yeah, no, it's not even like, oh, your job is to get people to the club. It's your job is to get attractive women to come to the
yes.
club so that men will come and spend money.
Exactly. Like you're literally your job is to lure pretty women to party
to then
with you.
Lure rich yeah. men.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so messed up.
It's troubling.
So
it is definitely a red flag.
A totally justifiable like alert that goes off. And I hope we see more of the club promoter, because I'm pretty sure one of them literally that's like their chiron is like that's their job.
Well, okay,
their club promoter.
The chirons are insane because blonde Garrett says like Bitcoin investor. I'm like, OK, so I'm supposed to believe that this man is very rich. How many Bitcoins does he have?
Yeah, like Phil, then under this like definition, then Phil is also a Bitcoin entrepreneur or whatever it was. Like just owning some Bitcoin doesn't make you
you'd have to own I feel like a significant amount of Bitcoins for it to be your chiron.
Yeah.
Like you have to own like
or I, he's unemployed and like that's just
he owns 1/8 of a Bitcoin, like that's it, and he would sell it because he needs the money but he doesn't know how.
So on I found everyone's short little bios on people.com. And his occupation listed there is accredited investor and entrepreneur. And then in
how do you become an accredited entrepreneur?
Don't know what that means. But then in parentheses it says cryptocurrency guru, which I also don't think is a title.
Anyways, so cryptocurrency is bad for the environment. Stop doing it, everybody.
Why am I? Yeah, this is not shocking that this is what Garrett does.
Okay.
But I think I'd probably prefer that to a club promoter.
it's a tough call for me. It's a tough call.
It's pretty difficult. Yeah.
Jared and Sarah talk about love languages and like what they want from relationships, which I feel like is always good to see on the show.
I really like Josh and Sarah together.
That was Josh? I don't
know. I
thought it was Jared.
No. Wait.
It's a man whose name starts with a J. I don't know.
Yeah, Sarah went out with Josh, and then Nakia went out with Jared.
No, but later she went out. This was at the party.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, see,
you scared me.
Different. No, yeah, you're right. After the, because Sarah had Jared as her MVP
her,
from
yes.
the thing. Okay. But then she goes on a date with Josh.
Yes. We also find out
there's a lot of guys.
There's
a lot of guys.
Too many guys, and we truly like don't know who they are. And if you want us to know who they are, then you're in the wrong place. Like, I'm sorry, it's not happening.
There's multiples of them, like in episodes where I'm like, who is this? And they even kind of poke fun at that at certain points where they're like, yeah, believe it or not, there's a person named this on the show. Like
exactly. We do find out that CJ has two dads, and I like how casually she dropped it in, because that's truly not a big deal and it shouldn't be a big deal, but
yeah,
still good that she's, you know, open about her life and her family. Mark, okay, this episode is where Mark starts like really popping up in the confessionals and everything. And this man looks like a ventriloquist dummy. And he makes me look so uncomfortable.
He looks like a caricature of like a trust fund kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's look, it looks like he's like cosplaying as like someone from Gossip Girl. Like, I just don't truly believe that this is a real person.
Yeah, he looks horrible.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Yeah, he looks like a ventriloquist dummy to me. And he gives me such bad vibes, and he thinks he is so funny and his jokes do not land, and he's wearing an ugly suit in his confessionals.
Yeah, the suit is too much. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, this, like, give him another outfit for these confessionals because it's really not working for him.
I'm sure he thinks it's working.
Well, and here's where I blame CJ for some of this, because I felt like she validated his humor. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, ah, yes, this is my thing. I will keep doing this. And then she's like, oh, okay, but no, not anymore.
No.
But not she anymore. Started it. She was like, Mark's really funny. He's always got jokes. And it's like, yeah, that you think you want that, but.
Yeah, I mean, she thinks she wants that, but it's CJ's bunk bed that she climbs into to have a little smooch.
Okay, you can't call Casey CJ, because then that's going to confuse me.
CJ and CJ, there's double CJ.
How am I going to know which one you're talking about?
Well, based on the context of the show that you've also watched. Okay, so CJ gets into Casey's bunk bed. And they kiss, and I was laughing so hard afterwards when she's like wiping her lipstick off of his face going, you can't tell a soul, I'm serious, don't tell anybody.
And then like the like lipstick stained like toilet paper just gets like dropped onto the floor. It's like, oh, someone's like clearly going to see that. It's like you got it off of his face and then you're just like throwing the trash on the floor.
Yeah, not strategic, not smooth. But I was laughing so hard. Just like, you can't tell anyone. And she's like wiping at his face.
Well, as we've seen on the other show, is like sometimes like women will be like, I'm wearing lipstick so that I won't kiss anyone tonight. And that clearly did not stop CJ.
I think people need to be less afraid of kissing people. If you think you're going to get a kiss, just put on a liquid lip.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like a bold red, though, and the kiss is intense enough, I think there's a chance it's gonna make a little bit of a mess. And like, I don't blame them if they're on TV. Like in real life, if I think that I'm going to be kissing, I really want to wear the red lip, I'll still do it. But like, I've seen the results of people on TV wearing like a bold red lip and then making out. I remember one of the seasons of Are You the One, there's like one drunken night and like they're like all just like talking in the kitchen afterwards, and like one of the girl literally looks like she's like a scary clown from like a horror movie. Like she had like lipstick all over her face and they didn't edit it out of the show at all. So like, that is a nightmare that you've got this like forever on television.
Eh, whatever, have fun, who cares.
I don't want me on TV with it looks like,
I mean, what, Jenny, you're gonna go kiss people on TV anyways? I don't think you're going on TV to kiss people.
Well, not now, but maybe in another world. And that's something I would consider.
You put on a liquid lip, you let it dry down, you're fine.
Yeah.
Like,
well, if anyone has great recommendations for the best liquid lip that you can get away with this, because I feel like I haven't tested them. So I don't know if I could go in confidently knowing that the lipstick is going to, because I've had some liquid lips not hold up.
Wow.
From the kiss test. Well, what if someone's a very wet kisser? What if it's really sloppy?
I feel like some
of these kisses are drunk and messy.
I feel like I'm still like having trouble from the kiss I saw on Love Island like over a week ago. So
I don't know if I'm there yet.
You would know. It's a kiss that Cachet does, and it's a Spider-Man kiss.
Oh, No, I've not seen
it. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. She's sucking on a man's tongue. Like, it's his tongue is out of his mouth, and she is just, like, sucking on his tongue. And it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It will live rent-free in my brain until the day I die.
But is that strategic? Because then it's, like, at least it's, like, you're not getting lips all over. You're just, like, straight for the tongue.
No, it was just weird. And then Jacob Jones tried to say it was kind of hot. And I was like, anyways, goodbye forever.
Well, are we shocked that that's his
take? No, Jacob Jones also had the worst Love Island takes of all. By the end, I was like, I am begging you, Jacob, to shut up. Please.
Oh, I love him. I wonder what his take on these people are.
He would love this show.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Okay, so then the girls choose who they're gonna take on dates again. And I love how it's like CJ being like, guys, you aren't gonna believe this. And she picks Mark.
It's like, yeah.
And I didn't believe it. I just assumed that she was gonna like pull Casey again.
Well, yeah, because she walks up and like greets Casey first. And Casey's like, oh, are you taking me for a second date? And she's like, no, I'm going to take Mark. And everyone's like, Mark? What?
Like, I just am under the impression that nobody likes Mark. Not one person likes Mark.
No.
And he, like, they go on the date and he's just like making dirty jokes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think. Well, she acknowledges that she thinks he's nervous, but he's like talking a lot and is the jokes were bad. I felt like earlier on when we were like seeing their first interactions, I could be like, oh, I could see how it's like a little playful, like banter type thing. And then it just like he like, again, got validated by her picking him and saying, you're so funny. And then he's like, aha, yes, I found the secret.
He
pulls out every dumb joke he's ever heard in his entire life.
He goes in with the 1-2 punch of, oh, what do you call a chameleon who can't change color? Ho ho, he has you reptile dysfunction. And then the other joke is, so I like walked into the sperm bank and they said, get a load of that guy. Stop like, it.
I feel like these are like jokes that are on like a popsicle stick after you finish the popsicle.
No, popsicle sticks are family friendly.
Oh, well, maybe these are adult popsicles.
They're shaped like a penis.
Yeah, that is a great idea. If that hasn't been done yet, somebody get on this. Here, apparently Garrett is an accredited investor and entrepreneur. Call me Garrett. We are going to make these adult popsicles with dirty jokes on the popsicle stick.
You can buy a mold on Etsy to make... a penis popsicle.
That doesn't shock me in the least. So then we just come up with really good, I'll call Mark for his great dirty jokes.
Oh, but then it's also just like a bunch of dildos that are like colored to look like popsicles. This is very troubling.
Wait, that's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
We want this to be food.
But for $85, you could have mature popsicle dildo, popsicle inspired sex toy, ice lolly dildo, ice pop dildo, rainbow dildo, UV reactive rainbow dildo, rocket dildo. That's the name of it on Etsy.
That's one line for one thing. That's a lot. That's like 8 different dildos. It's a value pack.
Is it really? No, but it's only one. They just name it. Like they just name it all those things to like
so that it comes up in the search.
Here, I'm sending you the link.
Oh boy,
it's so troubling.
All the important stuff here. Oh my god,
it's so troubling.
I would not want to put that in me.
No, it also glows in the dark. The first review from November 2020, 5 stars, just as described, fast shipping, worked great for an OnlyFans video I did on my page. You know
the
they
Nolan
just
twins?
No. This person obviously just wants to shadow that they have an OnlyFans so that people will go to their OnlyFans.
Oh my god, I scrolled down and...
Yeah.
I Guys, Kirsten just sent me porn.
No, I didn't.
In the middle of a podcast.
Stop it. I did not send you porn.
I literally just saw penis.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Well, I didn't see any.
Down on the page.
How far did you scroll down?
Ah! You did this. This is you.
It's Etsy. I didn't know you'd see penis on Etsy.
I don't either. And now I know.
Oh no.
I just got dick rolled.
I just sent an unsolicited dick pic to myself and Jenny.
Yeah. So messed up. Well, this has been a good one podcast together. Yeah.
Anyways, we're gonna be fired after this one.
This will be both of our last podcasts. So
yes, I'm now retired. Goodbye.
Oh boy. So anyway, Sarah and Josh, as I was saying, I really like these two together. They do the rum tasting date.
It is pretty cute.
I always love when there's like a little alcohol date.
I just like, I don't love rum. Like if I had to go on a date and it was rum tasting, I'd be like, what about margarita tasting?
Like, where's the chaser?
Yeah, literally. Ugh, yeah. I don't like rum. But it was cute.
I really like Josh. I really, really like Josh.
I gotta tell you, I feel like I don't know him, but I don't dislike him. So that's a good start, right?
I just feel like he seems mature. And he's 34. So we love that. Oh, and he's also from Chicago.
Ooh.
So do you think that bodes well for him and Sarah?
It could. It could definitely.
He's a brand marketer and entrepreneur. Again, all of these.
He hosts a podcast.
He's got a podcast.
McDonald's podcast. Founder views, a bootstrapped CEO's views.
What? That sounds boring.
It sounds like he's all about. I hope that this is the wrong one. Oh wait, no, he was he got interviewed by Founder Views.
Oh, okay.
Oh wait, or maybe not. Josh McDonald might be a common name.
I mean, it's a pretty basic name.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I just do feel like the fact that they're from the same city, that's a good sign.
It could bode well for them.
Yeah. He's a brand marketer. Sarah is trying to get a brand.
She wants a brand.
So just saying. Everything's lining up here. Oh, yeah. So we get a date between Jared and Nakia. And this is somewhere where this was Jared's the one who dropped the F-bomb like four times in a sentence.
I don't remember.
I can't even remember the context of it, but
I don't even remember them on the date. I just know they went on a date.
Yeah, I don't remember what they did. I only took note of the fact that Josh and Sarah did rum tasting. And that Sarah took a sip of the rum and looked like she wanted to die, which was relatable.
Mm-hmm. Content only. Yeah. I only took note of Mark's horrible jokes, but I didn't even write them down. I just sadly remembered them.
Yeah, they were imprinted.
Rent-free in my brain now. Just not good.
Yeah.
We also find out that blonde Garrett and Casey are best friends in the house, which doesn't make me feel great about Casey.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, Casey was already kind of seeming pretty fuckboy.
That's the thing is I know that he's got to be like the most fuckboy of the fuckboys because I'm like, oh, I kind of like him.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that was like me being like justice for Peter and Peter is fuckboy. I think that this is the problem, and this is like what we'll start to see is that like the guys that are like the most charismatic and out front are like the most toxic, and like the ones that are just kind of like hanging back and like not being like aggressive and kind of just like waiting their turn like respectfully are then getting no content, and we're just like, who are they? They're boring. Like these are the people that are like the nice guys.
You go in and there's 24 men. You can't wait your turn. You have to go out for it.
And like they're screwing themselves. Like we come to see that this is really a problem.
It's a bad strategy for F-Boy Island and life.
Yeah. This we get more Chris's the Mole content where
he brings up what Divish said.
Yeah. So Divish was talking about CJ and basically was just saying like she's too high maintenance and something about her not reading or something.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I brought up books, and she was like offended, like, oh, you're trying to woo me with books, and like I don't even know if she knows how to read. And it's like, Divish,
like, quite the jump.
I think she probably knows how to read at least a little bit. I think she was probably trying to like nag him a little bit, and he like did not take to that well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Chris sells that out to CJ.
Chris becomes the mole. And so,
he's simping for CJ by just completely dogging all of these other guys.
He's in it for the TV time. He knows he's not getting love, but he's obviously discovered that there's a way that he can stay in the show if he proves himself useful to the women, and maybe he'll get money based on that. But yeah, the second elimination, Division Israel, yes, there was someone named Israel on the show, both get eliminated, and we find out that they were F-boys. And then we get one of the funniest things that's ever happened of all time, where Charlie says, I'm a nice guy. And Nikki is like, do you want to explain the hours of footage of you in casting talking about being an F-boy? Like, no, you were cast as an F-boy.
This whole thing was bonkers. Like, and everyone's reaction while it was happening was so great. Like, it was, he's like, no, I'm an F-boy. And like, you can tell, like, Nikki is genuinely confused. She's like, okay, so what?
Like, what? Like, she's like, okay, so I guess you have a different interpretation of all your words and actions and the hours of interviews we have on tape.
Yeah. We get the hashtag Charlie exposed party.
They had the receipts.
But clearly, like, we come to find out that I think that he's just, like, perhaps through this process had, you know, did not want to identify as an F-boy any longer, and decided to take this moment to deny that this was his identity. When literally the point of the show and the game is that everyone was assigned one of these roles going in.
They volunteered. They did not assign.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened where he like was just really trying to deny this, because, like, we even see him, he doesn't go back to Limbro with, Division.
Yeah.
Israel, like, he is straight up just, and I think he's talking about like his mom died, and so like to distract from like the pain from that was like, that was when he just started like being an F-boy and just like sleeping with women.
And
so
like,
it's like, it seemed like he was having like a moment where he was like of clarity, being like, this isn't actually me inside.
And like, okay, let me just speak for a moment as a member of the Dead Mom Society. Okay, when your mom dies, yeah, you kind of act like a monster. It happens. I get it. But you don't get to like do prolonged bad behavior over what seems like years and then just blame it all on like a traumatic incident in your life like that. Like,
well, and also it's like, you can say like, I came in, like, he could have had his moment of being like, yeah, I came in as an F-boy, but like through this experience, like, I've realized that like, that's not the life I want to go back to being. And like, you know, didn't work out here. I didn't get to prove myself to be a nice guy to you women or whatever, but I've learned something. And like, if that's how you want your image to be going out of this, like this show, then you could have said that. The tantrum he threw where he was like, no, I'm a nice guy. Like, when there's literally proof of it in casting, it was really strange. And then he just shows up the next morning at Limbro. It's like he admitted that he just like had a hard time dealing with being eliminated. So
yeah,
I don't know what happened there, but
I think that he is a man that is used to lying to get out of situations, and it didn't work this one time because they had the receipts, and so he was uncomfortable. So he joined them the next morning. So the
Limbro's getting packed.
Busy. It's a bit booked and busy. Mm-hmm. It's so funny when Peter's like showing them around. Like he's like, here's the weight I made and here's where I sleep. And
it's so good. I love Peter as like the mayor of Limbro.
He's the ream of FY Island.
Exactly. Yeah. Love that for him.
It's perfect.
It's a great journey.
I just love that we get to see more of him because I did think he was really fun on the show. Yeah. So we get that. The next episode, three new men come in, which I did not anticipate this being a show where new men would join.
Me neither. I was so like thrown off by this.
I one of them. Okay, so they're named Welcome, Jared, and Jamar.
Who they give Jared the Chiron of New Jared, and then other Jared becomes OG Jared, which I thought was really fun.
Well, there's two Jareds. How are we to tell?
Oh, I know. Instead of using like a last initial,
we don't know their initials, so.
Well, that's the thing.
This is good.
Like, they couldn't be giving us, like, until new Jared came along, they couldn't have been giving other Jared, like, an initial because it's, like, why we're getting initial for him. So, I think it's fun that it's just new Jared and OG Jared.
New Jared, OG Jared. And then the challenge in this one is they all do photo shoots.
Yeah.
And it's really
like
funny.
Their chemistry. Yeah.
Because in the background of the pictures is like a bench of other men in every picture. Like, I'm like, well, this isn't a picture you could use. There's like 12 other men in the background.
I know. I was like, I put this in my notes because I was so frustrated by this. I was like, why are they like including the stump with men on it in the background? This is so bad.
It's just a bunch of men on a stump.
And Sarah's photos were all the same. It was always just her walking side by side with the man. Like, I feel like she was, like, not really getting, like, experimental with poses at all.
Well, and this is why her Instagram is struggling.
See,
variety is not there.
Sarah, your brand isn't going to build itself, okay?
Maybe her brand is walking on the beach with attractive men. And you know what? There are worse brands to have.
Yeah, I guess so. There was lots of trash talking amongst the men during the photo shoots, which was kind of funny. They're all just like completely making fun of each other.
Well, and then this is where we get the start of the new Jared, OG Jared fight.
The Jareds are fighting.
Jareds are fighting because they like are like sitting on the bench and one Jared's like, move, move. And the other Jared's like, could you like give me some respect? Or was that the two Jareds?
Yes, it was. And I couldn't really figure out who was in the wrong there because they were both being so obnoxious.
I just think they were both being annoyed. Like, yeah, it's rude to not be like, oh, excuse me. And it's rude to just like squish down between two people. Why does it have to be a fight?
They were both being rude because it's rude when someone is clearly like there's a bit of an opening, but they need more space to not move over and give them space. But it's also rude to tell somebody to move instead of asking if they can sit down there more politely. So they were both being the worst in this moment.
Yeah, there was no need for that to be a fight, but it was just the start because two Jareds proceeded to argue like the whole time.
It was so weird too, because like at times it seems like very serious and at other times it feels like playful ribbing. Especially like when they start like getting at each other about like their appearances, like they called each other goobers. They're like, you're a goober.
Well, I mean, they're both goobers.
I just thought this was like a hilarious choice of insult for grown men.
No, Jenny, it's serious. It's really serious. I just hate that it came to this, that they had to call each other something so extreme as the G word, you know, like you'd never catch me calling anybody that.
Yeah, this show is weirdly tame at points where they're like, oh, like they're getting in each other's face and like talking about the size of their shirts and calling each other goobers.
Oh, you need a bigger shirt. That one doesn't fit.
Nice pants.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was a lot. I felt OG Jared was getting like pretty heated, but I also didn't appreciate that they were body shaming each other, but
yeah, like, come on, can we do better?
Yeah.
Jared.
Yeah. Yeah. They need some Jared therapy together.
Group therapy.
Do you think that the name is playing into this? Do you think that there's like, I'm the only Jared? Like,
I think I could be.
There's only room for one Jared on this.
Like, just think how CJ reacted when she found out Casey also goes by CJ. She was like, no, you could be Casey.
Like, he have, yeah, like, it's actually my name that's tattooed on you. It's actually not your name. You actually got that for me before you even knew who I was.
Weird. That's so freaking weird.
And I mean, Garrett P got eliminated that first episode. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think blonde Garrett is long for this game.
Well, I don't think so either. A couple other funny things happened during this episode. The conversation between CJ and Casey, where CJ calls him a fixer-upper, saying that she's worried he's an F-boy and that he'll need too much work to get him up to shape for what she needs.
Just a
fun analogy for, I mean, that's what we were saying, is like, CJ seems like she's not against falling for an F-boy. She just wants it to be one that she can mold.
Yeah. Which, like, relatable, but also, like, maybe not the right way to live your life.
Do you think that they would be doing this differently if there was more clarity about how they win this money? Do you think that if they knew that, like, the only way they were going to win the money is if they eliminated all of the F-boys or something like that, do you think that maybe they would be trying a little bit harder to, like, weed out?
See, I think they are trying harder, but I also just think, like, when you meet someone and you vibe with someone, like, that doesn't happen all the time. And so, like, you still just want to hang out with them, even if it's not the best thing.
But that's the problem. And, like, I was kind of, like, saying this before, is that, like, some of these guys that just weren't doing enough and stepping up enough are the ones that are getting eliminated. And it's like, they're not a very good F-boy if they don't have game and they're not trying. So it's like, if you're actively trying to get rid of some of the F-boys, but you're, like, wasting your eliminations on, like, guys that are clearly, like, harmless and are not there. Like, if you... I mean, again, it's stupid of these men. They're not trying. They're not doing a good enough job of making an impression. So that's getting them eliminated. But it's like, I don't know, if you're out in front, like, it's hard to be out in front when all of these F-boys are taking all of the attention.
Well, yeah, it's like, should the women just be eliminating anyone who actually talks to them as a way to eliminate the F-boys? But then it's like, that's not, nobody wants to hang out with people who don't talk to them.
No, I get it. That's why, like, the concept is kind of interesting, because it's like, okay, so do you get rid of people that you're not having a connection with, or do you get rid of people that you feel like are a little too eager to try to talk to you because you're like, red alert.
Yeah.
But then again, I think that some of these people are like, they could be an F-boy, but I'm really just hoping they aren't, and I'm just going to see what happens.
I think so too, 100%.
Yeah.
Which
is not going to go well.
Can we talk about the elimination at the end of this? Because I feel like this is, like, the most exciting part of the episode. Like, episode 3 was, like, good, but it achieved greatness at the elimination.
I honestly felt like it was just okay. And then it went out like a lion. Like, the ending was so good. They did such a great job with, like, I don't know if this was planned with the drops, but they ended the third episode perfectly.
Yes. Like, I can't wait for Thursday when more episodes come out.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So basically, again, the elimination starts. Each of the women put forward two men for elimination. So Nakia puts up Kevin and Jamie.
CJ, I did not know who Kevin was.
Yeah, I've never heard of Kevin in my life. Like,
I forgot who Jamie was, because he, like, had no content since the beginning.
I remembered his face, but I couldn't really remember, like, what he had talked about.
Well, I remembered him because he was the one that almost got eliminated because he called CJ toxic. But, like, he had literally no content since then, which, I mean, I guess we know why, but anyway.
Okay, CJ nominates Matt and Mark. And then Sarah nominates Chris and Fernando. Yeah, there's a Fernando on the show.
He's a chiropractor.
He's a chiropractor. I don't know.
So, I only know that because of his bios in front of me.
This is where greatness happens. So, oh my gosh. Nikia eliminates Jamie. CJ eliminates Mark. And then Sarah says, I'm eliminating Chris. And CJ loses it. She is
She's like, wait, no,
he has to stay. And basically exposes to all of the men that Chris has become her mole.
Which they were already like suspicious of him, but like, yeah, there's absolutely no guessing anymore because she's like, no, you need to, he can't go. It was so great. Like she was like, it was like Topaz, like putting up her hand being like, excuse me.
No, except for the show.
I did not approve this.
Yeah. Except the show like goes with it. And it's like, okay, well, who else can go home so that Chris can stay? Nikia, do you want to like send anyone else home? Sarah, are you going to send anyone else home? And they're both like, no. And CJ goes, I'll send Matt home. Matt and Mark can both go as long as Chris can stay.
Imagine being Matt here, just being like, what the hell?
Like, he was safe. He was safe. And then, no, not safe because Chris had to stay. And Sarah's like, yeah, I'll go with whatever CJ wants.
Which is like so weird because it's like, do you not think that they would have had a conversation? These girls talk like we literally see scenes of them talking about people they're considering putting in their bottom two. So don't you think that at some point CJ might have been like, no, don't put Chris in the bottom. Like,
they probably did have that conversation.
Yeah.
And Sarah said, F it.
Or, I mean, I want to believe that it was like, it was a natural, you know, occurrence, but I'm always a little bit skeptical.
I'm choosing to believe that Sarah and CJ have like a little bit of beef and Sarah did this to hurt CJ.
That's more of a fun storyline, so I'm here for it. At some point during the like elimination ceremony, Matt had alluded that he had tea.
Yes.
So when CJ confirms that she's gonna get rid of Matt in order to save Chris, Nikki basically is like, all right, well, Matt, you said you had tea. Do you want to do the ultimate nice guy move and share with the class?
Yes, because we do find out that Jamie, Mark, and Matt were all nice guys.
Yes, exactly. All three of them are nice guys. So this is Matt's moment. Say, oh, you got rid of me as a nice guy.
Yeah.
Let's share the news.
So Matt brings up how Garrett is like the most F-boy of F-boys, the things that he has said about Sarah, about how he doesn't think Sarah's ready for a relationship. Apparently Greg has a girlfriend at home and Garrett might also have a girlfriend at home.
I felt like the Greg has a girlfriend got very yada yada. It was like,
no one has a connection with Greg.
It was like, yeah, Garrett did this, also Greg has a girlfriend, but then Garrett also has a girlfriend back home, and goes on to, so then Nikki basically is like, okay, well, Garrett, like, what is this about? Like, is this a real thing?
Well, I also love CJ being like, Casey, your boy has a girlfriend. Like, what's this about?
She just totally neuters him there. Like, excuse me, like, you're responsible for your friend. Like, I can't be having this. Like, you should be reporting everything to me. I love how CJ, like, really just expects that, like, everyone is supposed to be, like, reporting back to her.
She thinks that she is, like, a mob boss.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And it's a great vibe. And I love Garrett's like, yeah, well, you know, like I had been dating someone for like 4 months and then we went on a break so I could come on the show.
Yeah.
And like, Sarah's like, a break? Not even a breakup?
Yeah. She's like, well, that doesn't sound very over to me. Like, what a whole ass idiot this guy is. Like,
but like even if you're like, all the time,
even if you can't like completely deny what Matt is saying, you can own up to it in like a white lie kind of scenario.
Like, oh yeah, like, I recently got out of a relationship.
Yeah, you don't have to say we took a break, we kind of decided that it would be a break. Like,
but Jenny,
no,
they were on a break.
Oh, not that. Oh, God. But yeah, I love. And then like all the women are just like completely outraged. Just like, what the
hell? Like, my question is, do you think Garrett's girlfriend actually knows what show he went on? Like, maybe she just doesn't have HBO. So he thinks he can get away with it. It's not like this is on Netflix. Every, yeah,
this isn't CBS.
Not CBS. So
she might not have that HBO Max login. If they shared one, she certainly isn't.
Oh, no, he is sharing it after the password will be changing to that account.
yeah, this was just a total fumble from Garrett. I mean, you know, he's probably not expecting to be called out at the middle of the elimination ceremony that he was safe at, but this was awesome.
It was one of the best moments I've ever seen ever. I loved it so much. I was like, okay, Matt. Okay. Like, what?
Yeah, Matt just like, he just like laid it all out there. He's like, this and this. And he said this. He had all of the receipts. And he's like, you know, fuck it. I'm leaving. I've got nothing else to lose here. And these guys are a bunch of assholes. So I'm going to.
Yeah, and
make
now,
sure they get their comeuppance.
I know he gets to go to Nice Guy Grotto and drink pina coladas and watch as the people he just threw under the bus get sent to
Limbro.
Yeah.
I love that journey for him.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really see him on the show that much, but maybe I, like, stan Matt.
Yeah. I had no idea who he was, really, until this episode. Because there was, like, a couple of them that looked just like him. I think one of them was one of the one guy that got like medically evacuated. Ryan.
Oh yeah. Apparently there was a guy named Ryan and he had to leave for a medical emergency. They said like,
but he's okay,
but he was he was a nice guy too.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got their work cut out for them in the next round because, Sarah basically confirms as the show or as the episode is ending and the elimination ceremony is over that she's done with Garrett. And they're like, yeah, we're mad for you. Like,
yeah, obviously. Garrett will be going home in the next episode and it will be explosive and wonderful. I can't wait. Yeah.
I'm living for that. Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, so that's it. That's the first batch of episodes of F-Boy Island.
I will admit that when I saw like the length of the episodes, I was like, really? I was like, these were longer than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. I thought that it might be a bit of a slog to go through three episodes and they flew by. I was invested. I'm very, very invested. And I just, again, feel like the way it was that it's been produced, it just feels like a very good quality television program and it's entertaining me. It's so good.
Yeah,
and I just like that there's perfect. A point to it. Like, there, even though I don't even know what the point is, there's a point. I'm trying to guess who's good and bad. I love when I get to be involved in the process, you know?
Yeah.
Little story for me.
It's just wonderful. It just makes me so happy. Every second I was smiling.
Yeah, I was laughing out loud by myself. Like, what is this?
But like,
mind you, I do laugh out loud at Sexy Beast. But it's a different kind of
life. I commend you for watching that show because that could never be me. I like.
Well, they're like 22 minute episodes. Kirsten,
no,
it's not a huge commitment, but I understand.
Well, Puya already has told me that I have to come on and watch two of them. And I said, no, no, no. And he said, no, it's confirmed. And I was like, no, no, please don't make me. What if, okay, wait, what if I came on an episode of Sexy Beast and you guys just told me the plot and I didn't have to watch it?
I mean, I suppose that could happen.
I don't want to do it. It's so scary.
it's more sad than scary. Like,
well,
I feel like
everything
it's
I've
just
seen is spooky. Okay.
Some of it is kind of spooky.
Oh, well,
but anyway, this is like this show in comparison. It's like, it has that like lack of seriousness that I enjoy, but also there's like, it's still real and there's a lot more like on Sexy Beast, these people like meet and they like maybe spend like a total of an hour together. Like, at least this is like over the course of like a couple weeks or however long, I'm able to get more invested in the people. I'm learning a few more names every episode.
Speak for yourself.
And like I said, Well, they make it easy by bringing in people that have the same name as people that were already there. So less names you have to learn. You're like, oh, this is just Jared too. Okay, got you.
Okay.
But yeah, like Nikki is incredible. I really love that there is a host that doesn't feel like awkwardly placed.
Yes. No, she's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
It's
I highly recommend watching it if you haven't watched it yet. If you've, you know, decided to just listen to this podcast anyway.
Yeah, everybody go watch it. Go watch it. It's so fun. It is so fun. If you're in Canada, it is on Crave. If you're in the States, it's on HBO Max. A dream. Literally a dream. Jenny, where can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
You can find me on social media at Jenny Autumn, twitch.tv/Jenny Autumn. I haven't been streaming much lately, but hopefully we'll be a little bit more in the next couple weeks. It's been a kind of a busy summer. And then aside from that, podcast wise, the aforementioned Sexy Beast wrap up, Puya and I have been going down that journey together. I believe, I'm not sure when this episode will be dropping, but in a couple days we'll be recording the episode 5 and 6 recap, which I believe will be with Chappelle. So that will be lots of fun. So that should be dropping soon, if not already. And by the time you hear this, and that's, yeah, pretty much it. Occasional Big Brother 23 stuff. And just living my damn life, you know?
Yes, live your damn life.
Yeah, just trying to enjoy my life. And I am. So it's good.
I love that. Yeah. If people want to hear more from me, they can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Love Island USA will be continuing for another week and a half. So check out myself and Brian Scally over on the Love Island wrap up. And yeah, I'll be kicking around in these Big Brother 23 streets as well. The next batch of FBoy Island episodes drops on August 5th. So I'm assuming we'll, Jenny and I will probably chat next weekend at some point. And we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.